Juden, Melika, the glories of Vedic India. If you're going to glorify a particular topic, that means to compare it to something else. If we say that something is great, that means that it's greater in comparison to something else. So if you're going to speak about the glories, Vedic India, yes, but Vedic culture, we can say that's, it's not particularly because of India, but it's the culture that we wish to glorify. So in glorifying that, we'll have to compare that to other cultures, or lack of culture, which goes in the name of culture. I just came back from America, actually. I was just there for a few days ago. I was traveling around different places, and in several places the devotees asked me to speak on this topic also, of Vedic culture compared to modern culture. So it's very good that in the Western countries, at least our devotees, some of them, are taking an interest in this culture. They can more acutely understand what is the, maybe they're able to more acutely understand what is the value of this culture, having been brought up in the culture which Srila Prabhupada often referred to as the cat and dog, or hog of life. Those who have brought up in that way of life and who have the realization that it is not as wonderful as it's made out to be, they often embrace Krishna consciousness. Understanding that the modern way of life is simply a royal road to hell. It's a very elaborate arrangement to go to hell. Very big buildings and everything very modern and smart and clean and technologically advanced. But the result of that is, even in this life, no one is happy. On the way back from America, I stopped in Japan, which is even more technologically advanced and organized and industrialized than America. And it's, you see all the cars there look new, you don't see old looking cars, and the roads are smooth, and the train so fast and so smooth. Coming back to Indian trains, it's quite a contrast. But the Japanese people, every month they change their cell phone, because they get the latest one all the time. They always have to have the latest, up-to-datest cell phone. If you think it'd be a good business to go and collect the old ones, forget it, because they make it so that they only work in Japan. So you could, it's no use to get the old ones, they just throw them away. So anyway, it's a very highly advanced technology. The only broken down, useless looking car I saw was the ISKCON vehicle, which is typical, I guess. So very technologically advanced, but totally miserable. Very impersonal people. But it's interesting, because at the same time, there's after being in the West, you come to Asia, and they're still Asian. There's still something of the Asian culture going on. They're not totally degraded. When they see a monk, many of them, they still give some respect like this. Prabhupada noted that when he went to Japan. He appreciated that people would bow to him and offer him respect. So there are the remnants of Vedic culture in Japan, because previously this culture, we are told, was spread all over the world, and particularly that that the influence of that culture has been very widespread. What we call Vedic culture or Indian culture has been very widespread. In India, it's still very apparent, even in the Muslim countries. Of course, in the Muslim countries, they won't offer respect or bow down to anyone or touch anyone's feet because they consider that a sacrilege. But in many ways, much of the culture is going on in, even today, in countries like Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. Even the name Stan, that's a Sanskrit word. Unfortunately, even though the Sanskriti is going on to some extent, to a large extent, they lost that. Now, what is Vedic culture? What is the value of Vedic culture? Well, we get it in the very word Sanskriti, which is translated as culture. Now, culture means the way of life of a people, how they live, what are their particular customs and usages and manners and laws and social taboos, how people deal with each other, what are their values, all these comprise culture. So the Sanskrit word Sanskriti is translated as culture, but actually the word Sanskriti does not have such a broad usage as the word culture. Or of course, one very important aspect of culture is a very broad subject, but the art, the expressions of art, that's also a very important component of culture. The art, the educational system, all these things. So the term Sanskriti it's not as broad a term as the English word culture, which can be applied even in the Western world. That's why we say the Western attempt at civilization, or the Western so-called culture. It's not really very cultured. The behavior of people is not very cultured. Of course, they may be polite, but the goal of life is simply sense gratification. So that does not tally with Sanskriti, because Sanskriti means that way of life which is based on becoming Sanskrita. Sanskrita means that one has undergone sanskar. There, sanskar means particular reformatory processes which are meant for purification. So Vedic culture is that culture which has particular rituals and usages for transforming a person into the state of full self-realization. Janmana jayate shudra. Everyone is born just like a shudra. Shochati iti shudra. Shudra means one who laments. Shudra means practically on the level of an animal. Now, here we're not talking about caste system. Someone is born in a Brahmin family, someone is born in a Shudra family. But we're talking about the real meaning of the word Shudra, just like the real meaning of the word Brahmana, has nothing to do with the family one is born in, especially in the modern age. That may have been true in previous ages. To a large extent, it was expected that someone born in a Brahmin family would adopt Brahminical culture, and someone who was born in a Shudra family would be like a Shudra. That was expected to a large extent in previous ages. Not always, but generally, the son of a Brahmana would be a Brahmana, because he'd be trained. For one thing, due to his karma, he was born in a Brahmana family, and due to the culture that he's brought up in, he would become like a Brahmana. And the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, they were very particular to raise their children according to the principles of Dharma. And they would follow their Dharma, Brahminical Dharma, Kshatra Dharma, Vaishya Dharma. So, but nevertheless, it is not that simply by birth one is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or lower. Shudra means one who has the tendency to lament. It means in a very low consciousness. So Janmana Jayate Shudra. A child, as all parents know, they tend to lament. They tend to cry. If there's something, anything wrong, they'll start crying. They're expressing themselves. In the modern age, there's this, it's something that's come to India recently, the idea that everyone should express themselves. Whatever you feel in your heart, express it. But that's actually on the level of a child or an animal, just to express everything you feel. Rather, a cultured person, will not just say everything he feels, because what we feel may not be very cultured. But rather we should speak, this is all part of Vedic culture, we should speak in such a way, satyam bruyat priyam bruyat, ma bruyat satyam apriya. We should speak that which is true, that which is pleasing. We should not speak that which is true, but which will cause displeasure to others. That's a general moral principle. In discussing the absolute truth, this does not apply. But as a general moral principle, one doesn't just say what I feel, I hate you. You know what I'm saying? One shouldn't cultivate such feelings. So this idea, express yourself, that's just what the child does. When he feels upset, starts crying. So a child is like a shudra or an animal, because there's no self-control. The child, hopefully the child has come into this world through garbhadhan sanskar. If there's no garbhadhan sanskar, then even one may be coming in a brahmana family, but according to shastra, unless all the sanskars are performed before birth, then that the whole family is considered no longer brahmana but shudra. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, everyone is considered a shudra. Because no one is... Who is performing garbhadhan sanskar? They're not doing. This Vedic culture is designed in such a way that very spiritually developed children will be brought into the families of the upper castes for further training, and there are so many sanskars of which the Upanayanam samskar is very important. Janmana jayate shudra samskara bhavet dvija. By Upanayanam samskar, one is considered dvija. Nowadays, dvija means twice born. Nowadays, in the Brahmana families, the Upanayanam samskar is still performed. Actually, it's not meant to be only for Brahmin families, but also for Kshatriya and Vaishya families. But nowadays, mostly only the Brahmana families perform this. But it is performed just as a formality. Usually nowadays they often perform it along with the marriage, because the idea is that before a brahmana gets married, he has to have upanayanam samskar. But actually the real thing is that one should have upanayanam samskar, become a brahmachari, study with the guru, and then after studying for 20 years with the guru, Veda, then only he should get married. But nowadays they do the upanayanam samskara just as a formality. Shall I hold it?